Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine is FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please do the right thing.
Welcome, 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 Dave and GC Rock Show. I don't know about you, but if he was going for let's piss everybody off, it worked. If you want to call into the show, you can call in at 516-387-1705. 516-387-1705. I don't have my BTR info show page up that tells me all the email address. I think it's, if you want to get a hold of G-Ski, it's gski@airwavesamerica.com. That's an email that you can use. Or you can use G-Ski Rocks on Twitter. He still uses Twitter. I don't. I'm not mad at him. But, yeah, if you need to get in touch with us, there's a couple different ways to get. You can get in touch with me, Dave Graham Live on Facebook, or just Dave Graham. I'm up in New Hampshire. You can find me. It's like some of the things I heard on that speech, which I did not watch. I heard clips from, but they're not out of context clips, you know. That's not pieced together to make him say, you know, what would piss me off the most. He actually said it. I'm talking about Biden. So the attitude that he holds Americans with is so super, super condescending that it's like he doesn't understand how the Constitution works. He doesn't understand how the country works. He has a whole, in other words, he's using the Saul Alinsky concept of the world as it is versus the world as it should be. And he has in his head a picture of what he thinks the world should be, and he is just grinding right towards that picture as fast as he can. Okay, obviously, I know it's not him doing this. He's too old to hold the focus for that long. He just does not have the gravitas that is associated with the highest job in the, they say, and that is the most powerful position in the world. Now, I heard, you know, some lefties say, oh, the president say, oh, he holds the most powerful position in the world. Isn't their biggest complaint, or one of their biggest complaints, is that America was imperialist, wielding power all over the place? You can't get any logic out of them. Here's a little bit that I wrote about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. I regard them as sister documents. Separate, each of these documents is magnificent. Each one is written beautifully and deliberately, meaning they were deliberated. So each word was chosen with the utmost care and thoughtfulness. The writers of these documents were not peasants. They were learned scholars and very well read in the works of the time. Learned scholars have a tendency for discipline to organize their life so as to accumulate some means or wealth, if you please. This is a trait held against the framers of this nation here in our present times. So ask yourself this. Would you rather have had the country framed by poor, uneducated people? So just because the framers were, as the right Reverend Wright says, rich white people, I put a quote in there, Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country and a culture that is controlled by rich white people. I remember that quote, by the way. That was, what is that, 2010, 2009? maybe even 08. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't make it a bad thing. So they were rich. So they were white. They still set up this nation based around, wait for it, natural law. Natural law. So that when taken together, these two documents, the Declaration and the Constitution, complement each other and reinforce each other. It has taken well over 200 years to undermine and degrade the intent to its current meaning. 200 years of creeping incrementalism. I'm sorry. 200 years of the creeping incrementalism of progressivism. A lot of isms there. The principles laid out in the Declaration echo throughout the entire Constitution. Reverberations can be found in the Federalist Papers and also the Anti-Federalist Papers. So Federalist 57 contains principles of competition and ambition. As you know, the Federalist Papers were the sales pitch that a few people were making for the Constitution. Pretty much written mostly by James Madison, but it was an explanation of what these words are mean, and you know, just the way they talked back then. So Federalist 57 has a passage in it that says, "If it be asked, what is to restrain the House of Representatives from making legal discriminations in favor of themselves and a particular class of the society, I answer, the genius of the whole system, the nature of just and constitutional laws, and above all, the vigilant and manly spirit which actuates the people of America, a spirit which nourishes freedom, and in return is nourished by it. If this spirit shall ever be so far debased, tolerate a law not obligatory on the legislature as well as on the people will be prepared to tolerate anything but liberty." This is a pause for effect. "Such will be the relation between the House of Representatives and their constituents. Duty, gratitude, interest, ambition itself are the cords by which they will be bound to fidelity and sympathy with the great mass of the people." So what they're saying is the House of Representatives, they're elected every 2 years. They are directly elected. When this was written, they are, according to the Constitution, they are directly elected. They are the only body that's described in the Constitution that is directly elected by the people. that has been changed since the 17th Amendment to include the Senate, who is also directly elected by the people, making them pretty much unaccountable to anyone. What do they have to do to recall a senator? They never get recalled. That's what's up with that. And as far as if the spirit shall ever be so far debased as to tolerate a law not obligatory on the legislature, as well as on the people will be prepared to tolerate anything but liberty. Well, that's all good with paper, you know, or on paper. Oh, we got bringing it, boy! I just moved my page, page that I was reading. I moved it over, and I see bringing it, boy, is in the house. How about a recall of the Speaker of the House? I'm good with that. I am good with that. That's fantastic. That'll never happen, but. We have a caller up. Might be the person I invited on there. Hello,
yeah.
This is Dave.
Yeah, it's just me. It's just
Hi,
me.
Dana. Dana, I invited him.
What's going
him
on, early. Dave?
Oh, I am struggling today, boy. I'm telling you what.
Yeah. Hey, man, I like that dramatic pause. That was pretty cool. That's like radio stuff. I like that. It's good.
Did you like it better than I announced what it was? Or
Yes. Yes.
This is my good friend, yeah. Dana Smearman. Yeah, he had a radio show with us back in the day. And G-Ski's not going to be with us probably till the second hour. He said he was pretty drugged up, so this is going to be fun.
And how is that any different from any other time that he's on the air?
I was just going to say, sometimes when he does a radio show, he's not. He's usually on his kidney dialysis machine.
And that's dedication, brother. That is dedication. Okay.
Well, you know, a body wants to live, so you do
Absolutely.
What you got to do.
I mean, you talk about you're not only going to do a show, but you're going to do it while you're on. I don't know if people understand how physically taxing, you know, the dialysis procedure is. But, man, that's
– I have no idea.
I'm just going to say it. You know, it takes it out of you. I mean, you have a hard time maintaining, you know, your temperature, all that kind of stuff. It's very draining. And just that he does that, you know, he goes up several points on the dude factor just for doing that.
Well, he's listening right now, so I know he will appreciate that. I will always give him a few extra points on the dude factor on many levels.
Absolutely.
As far as,
absolutely.
You know, everything that he does and has done. So anyways, so I was talking about a little bit about what I heard in the speech from yesterday. Maybe you can drop in about that, where he says our patients are wearing thin.
Oh, yeah, he's wearing thin. Yeah. Yeah, he is right. Our patients is wearing thin at this
our
point
patients.
In time.
But.
Yeah, I don't know if people – you were alluding to the founding fathers. How much of this would they have tolerated, do you think, Dave? I mean, how much?
Zero.
How about none? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely zero, and I say that without even a moment's hesitation.
What really concerned me is the feckless Republican Party, their messaging on this. I was waiting for them to come out, hit this hard, but they do the same thing.
They don't.
They almost have the same message, okay? It's vaccination, vaccination, vaccination. How about we talk about the legality of what this man is doing and how he's turning our very representative democracy on its head? We need to talk about that, okay? Vaccination to me is a personal choice. I'm in the healthcare profession, okay? So I've worked throughout this entire pandemic, and I will tell all of you out there, it's your choice, okay? It's your choice. Think it through. What is best for you, you get with your healthcare provider. But we don't need a senile man who's, by the way, in my humble opinion, Dave, just trying to turn attention away from that little debacle in that country called Afghanistan, right? To force this down people's throats. It's disgusting is all I can say.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that. It's the distraction that he's going for, you know. So, but yeah, you know what? There was another quote in there that just I didn't hear it. I heard it on Bongino, and I forgot exactly what it was, but it was such a condescending thing to say, and I can't remember exactly what it was. But yeah, so he does all of this, and then I saw today what's his name, Mitch McCarthy, the minority leader. I call him Mitch McCarthy now, by the way. So
yeah, he was very much he talked like this, but my best friend,
no, because of his behavior.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I said, so he tweeted something about, you know, well, no, now the president has really gone too far, blah, 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 blah. So I responded to his tweet. He's not going to see it, but I was like, so now can we hear you talk about impeachment? And
the phone call he made to the Afghani president.
Oh my God! I covered that last week. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. What are we going to do now? He's using the Obama tactic, which is what? You know it's illegal. Do it anyway and see if anybody will stop you, right? And if they don't, proceed accordingly. That's what they're doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think of the because at noontime now I have Bongino, so I got like a couple hours ahead. And you know what? He's really good. He was referencing.
Hey, by the way, let's talk about just real quick, Dave, on Dan Bongino. Now we talk about dude factor. Here's a dude who was getting chemotherapy and then would leave and go do 800-pound squat presses. Okay.
Yeah. No, I got it. And you know, the MMA training and jujitsu.
Oh,
and all yeah. But he was talking about – no, you just threw me off.
I'm just sorry. But, you know, the fact of the matter is I would give a lot of money to charity if he would get into an MMA cage with Geraldo Rivera and just finally have it out.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be entertaining to me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he was – I'm trying to think. He was talking about he's talking about, obviously, the Russian defector in Dropoff? No, he was a Russian spy, and he was a defector. He defected like in the 80s or something.
Okay, yeah.
Think of the guy's name. And he said, "Well, basically, what he said was, you know, this is how it works. They lie, meaning, you know, the government.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We know they lie, and they and." They know that we know they're lying, and we know that they know that we know that they're lying, and they know that we know that they know that we know that they're lying, and yet they lie.
They lie more.
Yes.
It was
a Russian defector. I'm trying to think. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I thought you were going to tell me he was wanting to defect back to Russia. At this point, because I believe
point. He's defending us, though. But that was
I'm
going like
to tell you right now, and what about when we used to be young and we'd hear all the ridiculous stories? You remember Pravda, right? The Russian newspaper or media outlet.
Oh, yeah.
What do we have here in this country now? It's
Pravda.
The same thing. When you can call Larry Elder the white face of black supremacy, okay? I mean, what? The hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I get what you mean. The black face.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Yes, the black face of white supremacy. It's like that thing where you look at it and you go, have we reached peak stupidity? Because just when you think we have, they do something even stupider. It's amazing what we are living through right now. Somebody asked me the other day, hey, when will all this pandemic stuff finally end? And I have one succinct answer for you folks out there. When you demand it, that's when it's going to end. When you've had enough of it and you say no more, that's when it's going to end. Otherwise, this is going to go on in perpetuity because there's political advantage to it for them. That's why.
Well, it's going to end when you can convince your lefty friend that Now this is what they voted for.
Yep. Well, first of all, I'm proud to say I have no lefty friends. But, you know, if you do, God bless you for doing the Lord's work. I can't talk to these people anymore.
I don't have lefty friends. What I have is an acquaintance, the UPS guy. He was an anti-Trump. I talked about him a little bit last week. He was anti-Trump, and he was always – but we right. always got along. And then I found out he came in, and he was talking with one of the other clerks saying when they were, like, kneeling for the anthem and stuff at the Olympics mm-hmm. and stuff like that, he thought the flag was overrated. So guess what? The guy's dead to me. You know, I mean,
that's it.
I came up with a little bit last week, and I can go back through it. Okay, mister, I've got three questions for you. How long have you had this view about the flag? And whatever that answer is. Second question is, what event or happenstance occurred to cause you to develop this belief about the flag? And number three, have you ever paid any cost in any way mm-hmm. to hold that belief? Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you pay because you're dead to me. Now, maybe you're willing to pay that. That's fine. But I don't need to. Don't ever look at me. Don't even talk to me. I'll grunt if anything. You know, you got to pay a cost. I mean, I need rapport, which I have. He snuck down and went like 4 feet out of his way to say, "Hey, Dave," but I didn't even turn around. You know, I mean, why shouldn't they pay a cost for that belief? I mean, I can't charge them. I can only do what I can do. You know, as long mm-hmm. as I'm disciplined and do it, and tell them, you know, eventually I'll tell them why. But,
you know, I find it interesting that we have these discussions anymore. We concentrate on the negative aspects of our own history, and there are many. We are an imperfect society. We're imperfect people. But I go back to our founding. They weren't trying to create the perfect system, but the most perfect system that had ever existed. They knew people had flaws. That's why they developed a system of all this power pulling against one another. They didn't even trust themselves with this power that they were creating. So we have corrected me. I think one of the few societies that does self-correct, right? We pay terrible prices for that, okay, to make this happen. I am sick and tired of people pointing out the negatives and ignoring all the good that this society has done, a welcoming people, a good people. And I think I'm hoping, and I sense this from a lot of people that I see out here in my own community, that they're being tired of being talked to this way. And by God, you know what? I'm one of those people. If I'm at a football game and that flag goes up and we have a fly, I mean, I get goosebumps when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know. But that's over the top. Your reaction is over the top.
I know.
To them.
Absolutely.
So I had this guy that I'm working with. I had a little exchange with him, you know, because he was talking about, you know, America's not so great and all this and that. And I was like, well, you know, yeah, there was some, you know, rough spots, but it's probably the best place. I said, where else can you go and make $1 million if you decide to do that? Oh, you can go any place. You can go France. You can go, you know, here and there. Okay. I was like, dude, you need a ticket, you know, because I'll pitch
let me get you on the
– Well, all you do is focus on, you know, the good things about the country. And I was like, well, all you do is focus on the negative. Well, you can't ignore the negative. I said, yeah, but I'd rather focus on the good. And he never said a word after that.
Yeah, David, but here's the thing. They act like we never acknowledge
the darker
portions of our own history, which of course we do.
You have
to, and as a
conservative, that's what you learn from.
Exactly. And as a conservative, we are all about that, aren't we? Human experience. The difference is we don't believe that there's some magic government program that's going to change human nature. We accept that. And we try to create a system in which we can kind of put some of those bad aspects of our nature to the side, but we realize that there's no government program, there's no president, there's no a politician that's going to be able to change the nature of a human being. We accept that. So, of course, we look at the bad things that have happened here. You know, they tell me all the time now that there's hesitancy, vaccine hesitancy, even in my community, which is predominantly a black community. Well, you know, if you're a black person and you think, why should I trust the government when it comes to experiments? Wow, nothing bad's ever happened there, right? I mean, it's not like they gave a bunch of people syphilis or anything, right? They wouldn't do that. That's crazy, right? I mean, it's just insane when I hear these things. So, of course, we acknowledge those things, that we may have interned Japanese Americans into concentration camps, right?
Oh,
right, George?
No,
Takei?
No.
We might have done that, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But we also know that we typically learn from these things. We try to evolve. We try to become a better society for it. And, you know, up until Barack Obama became president, you know, I thought race relations in this country were pretty good. Never perfect, because we're always going to have racists. But my God, man, we were headed in the right direction, okay? But these people use identity politics as a political weapon. And so, of course, we got to talk about these things. But I'm not willing to say this is a horrible nation. This is a great country. Having visited other places, Dave, I'm telling you, when I came back from overseas, I'm one of those people like, God, am I glad I'm back in the United States. I love
the
United States.
Ground?
At one point, coming back from Europe, when my wife was stationed there in the Army, I certainly did. I'm like, God, I'm back in America. I kissed the ground and said, where's the Chick-fil-A? That's what I said. That's what I did. I stand by that.
Awesome.
But
have you heard any of my I know you've stalked some of our past shows and podcasts and stuff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed any of the Think for Yourself series that I've been
I have, and you know what? That is what we need. This country needs to turn off the idiot box and start thinking for yourselves critically. It's important. I'm just concerned about Americans and their lack of intellectual curiosity. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We need to ask questions. I'm a why person. I suspect you are too. If you're going to tell me we have to do something, the first question I ask is why? Why are we doing this? Right? I need to understand it, get my head around it. And a few too people are doing that right now, and it's concerning.
Well, because,
very concerning.
Because it's something to do. In other words, in this country, we're so content, we're so all set.
Oh, we're good.
They're inventing things to complain about and going along with whatever people come up with, without asking,
right?
Why?
Why are we doing this?
Right.
You're,
we don't need
I think,
to do
yeah.
anything. Just
no.
get out. Just live your life. Do
My
whatever
God.
You want.
And by the
to
way,
do.
Part of living is risk. I don't know if people are aware of this. Anytime you do something, you take a risk. And, you know, we all assess risk differently. I've told people since the beginning, listen, if you want to go out of your house wearing four masks and having five jabs in the arm, God bless you. Go ahead, do what you got to do. But then let everybody else do what they think is best for them, all right? There's risk associated with everything. And I'm telling you, they're lying to you folks. I could go into a lot of things. I don't want to bore your audience.
I have a quote for you.
But they're lying to you.
Right, mm-hmm. right. But I have a quote for you that you might recognize. Lieutenant Frank Drebin.
Yeah. The great Lieutenant Frank Drebin.
You take a risk waking up in the morning. You take a risk crossing the street, and you take a risk sticking your face in a fan.
God rest Leslie Nielsen. I love that man. Oh, God. Real humor. Real humor back in the day.
I knew you'd recognize that one.
I love Frank Drebin. Yeah, I mean, risk, we talk about it. Yeah. Go. I don't know. Maybe it's because – and you know I blame the decline of Western civilization on Oprah Winfrey. You know that. You've heard me say this before. I believe it's her fault. She started getting men talking about their feelings. Look, I don't have feelings. Not in the traditional sense people think. I'm like my father. I do anger pretty good. I got that one down pretty good. All this other emotion, I don't do real well, okay, because I'm not supposed to be that. Okay, that's not what I'm here to do. It's not my job. Okay,
right. And everything else just kind of rolls back around to anger. So
yeah.
You're good.
Well, I'm good. It always does come back to that for me. Thank God. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about young men today who we're questioning our identity. This stuff they're pushing right now, Dave, is very disturbing. It's almost like we're seeing the Americanized version of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. You know, destroy your own history, destroy all norms of society, right? And it's happening before our very eyes. And the Republican Party, where are they at, Dave? I mean, we can hit the Dems all day long. They're easy. Where are the Republicans
on
this
stuff? They're nowhere. They're nowhere, and they need to be primaried. I mean, if we can primary enough people and put people in there that are doing, you know, some of the things that Texas is doing, then maybe we'll retain some representation. But until then,
I mean, we have a situation. Well, Rand Paul's been very good on the COVID stuff, and you know, this information that's come out over the last couple of days about Fauci and this gain of function stuff.
Right.
You know what? You only have one guy up there who's been pounding this for the longest time, and that has been Senator Rand Paul.
Why is
that man still going on CNN? None of this, like, you going to ask him a question about it? All I hear is the same shit from him all the time. What about the droplets? You know, it's droplets everywhere. You know, I'm sick and tired of him, okay? That man is
lucky
probably
for me,
responsible.
I don't watch any of that.
Well, I have to, so you guys don't have to. I mean, I don't mean to do it, Dave. You know, I don't want – it's like a car wreck. I don't want to look, but sometimes I have to. But, you know, you see this and you go, why is this man – he should be behind bars. I'm not being hyperbolic.
Neither is
Rand
Paul.
He should be behind bars.
Rand Paul is looking for that. He wants him investigated.
Yes, he should be. But the Justice Department is too busy in Texas suing Governor Abbott over a heartbeat law because, as you know, it's your body, your choice, except when they want to put in a spike protein mutated RNA vaccine into your arm. Then no, you don't. It's not your body.
Just shut up and take it. You'll get
shut
nothing
up.
And like it.
you'll get a 50. Like, what's Israel on? Jab number 12? What's going on over there? Okay? Now, I mean, honestly, let's just be honest. I'm not saying that, you know, you stop doing anything to fight the pain. But isn't it also important for those in charge to tell the truth? If this thing is not working as well as they expected, how come they don't just tell us that? Look, we got
to
come up with something new, right?
Because they have to
this
save
is not
face.
Working like we expected it.
Right, because they have to save face. That's the only reason.
Exactly. Exactly.
But they're embarrassing themselves more trying to save face. That's the joke of it all.
And the things that this president – well, I'm not going to call – listen, you know, I told you guys before, it's like we don't even really have a president. You know what I mean? He's got this old man that shows up and yells at you every once in a while. He doesn't seem like a president. He doesn't act like a president. And I really believe at this point that we have to start seriously considering, as you said, impeachment or maybe invoking that 25th Amendment, right? At least talk about it. You know,
here's the problem with the 25th Amendment. That takes his personal cabinet to agree.
That's true. You're true.
And
I'm just saying maybe start evoking it like they did with Trump every 25 seconds. Go on
shows
on Fox and talk about it, right?
Where's the Dr. Bandy Lee saying that he's incompetent or whatever? Yeah.
Strangely,
as he
leaned in and whispered, hey.
Oh, my God.
You know?
I told you the funny part about that, right? I was listening to Ben Shapiro. When he did the whispering thing, I got them $2.1 trillion, whatever. He said the only thing that would really make that make sense is if they zoomed in while panning the camera 30 degrees. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
That would be hilarious. It would
As
be.
They zoom in, they tilt it at like 30 degrees.
Yeah.
I friggin' howled.
Yeah.
He said that was Ben
Shapiro. I'm like thinking to myself, you can't. Like, I say to people, they're mandating or they want to mandate that American citizens to have a job, get a vaccine. But we've got people pouring over the border, even as we're speaking right now.
I know. And they're being disseminated throughout the country.
Right.
So let me read this quote.
If one were conspiratorial, Dave, one could think it was being done on purpose, but I would never go.
Far be it from us, right?
Far be it from me to spread a conspiracy theory or misinformation. I would never do that.
I know, because we'll get banned. Right. So the Floridian Press has got an article about the speech or something. President Biden on Monday issued a threatening warning to Americans who refused to get vaccinated, saying they will ultimately, quote, end up paying the price, unquote, despite the fact that significant progress in the number of coronavirus cases is down for the first time since the pandemic began last year. Now, okay, so real quick, okay, let me just that quote aside for right now. We'll get back to that part. If you and I, let's just do a hypothetical here. You and I work together. You're concerned, so you get the vaccine. I am unconcerned so that I do not get the vaccine. Right. And you and I work together. Let's say even work together in close proximity. I'm not saying we're trying to spit or anything, but if we work together in close proximity, you're vaccinated. I'm not vaccinated. You're vaccinated from the disease. I'm not vaccinated from the disease. I don't care because I don't care, right? I don't care if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. I don't give a crap one way or the other.
Like
you're
it.
Vaccinated, yeah. and I'm not. Mm-hmm. And you're vaccinated, and I'm not.
Yes.
What do you care? What do you care?
If you were truly suggesting that this chemical that they've created is a vaccine, I would agree with you. Yes.
Well, that, yeah.
I see what you're saying. You know what the problem is that when I speak like this, too, I do that to you, flipping on people. When you say, well, I am not vaccinated in America, just so you know. And I'm a respiratory therapist, by the way, by trade, which means I've actually technically been in with so many COVID patients, I quit counting, okay? I chose not to get vaccinated for many reasons, okay? But you're right. If it was truly an effective vaccine, you wouldn't care, right? You just wouldn't care. But it's not, and we know that.
Well,
we know that it's not as effective as they said.
I would say 80% of my hesitancy is the fact that they want me to do it so badly.
Yes.
sirens and red flags going off all at once in my head.
Let me throw a few COVID-19 tidbits out to the folks who are listening tonight. One is, why is natural immunity to this disease never talked about? If you have any other disease, you can get titers drawn. So let's say you go to your employer, like I might have an employer who says, hey, listen, you got to show proof that you've been vaccinated or you've had measles, mumps, rubella, whatever, right? I had both measles and mumps as a child. I draw titers. In other words, blood is drawn and they look for the genetic marker that is associated with the antibodies that my body produces. If I have those, I don't have to take the vaccine. Okay. Why is that never discussed? My wife and I both had COVID in August of last year. We both recovered. And as all of you know, I am not the paragon of health. Okay. All right. I am not. Okay. I got over it. My wife got over it. We had blood drawn here recently. We both still have antibodies. Okay. Why should I take a vaccine? I'm doing air quotes, by the way, here, people. I've already had the disease. I asked that question. I'd like an answer. They don't answer that question. They just, what they tell you, shut up and get jabbed. That's it. That's their answer to everything, you know. Those questions are legitimate, by the way. I suspect a large number of people have already had this disease, okay?
Right.
Some of you didn't even know you had it, by the way.
Why do they insist on whoever has not been vaccinated for whatever reason? I mean, maybe they have an allergy to the vaccination ingredient.
They could.
You know,
you may have underlying medical conditions that you shouldn't take this, by the way.
Right.
Right. They don't recommend that pregnant women are vaccinated, folks. Okay. I mean, just think about something. I'm not. And once again, Dave, I want to say this out loud again so that the overlords here understand. I have never told anybody to be vaccinated or not to be vaccinated. What I've said to them, do your due diligence, do your research, and make an informed decision. That's all I've ever said.
No, right. That's right. So I think I told this story maybe last week, but there's a guy on my mail route, right? And he met me out at the mailbox, and and it was probably three, four weeks ago. So maybe like 3 weeks ago. And he started asking me, because he knows my brother who lives in the town that I deliver in. He says, so last I talked to your brother, he was an anti-vaxxer. And I was like, huh, right? And he said, where do you fall on that? He says, have you gotten a vaccine? I said, no, I haven't. And he kind of looks down and he shakes his head. Well, this Delta variant has been, has been proven to be, you know, a son of a bitch or something. And I just, you know, I just stood there and I looked at him, and then without breaking eye contact, I smiled. And he's like, okay, all right, you know. I drove off. So when I returned to the office, there was a note on my case that with his address that says, anything requiring a signature or anything that doesn't fit in the box, please leave a slip. They will go into the post office and pick it up. So I don't have to come to the door.
Thank God. Typhoid Mary, what's going on with you?
So here's the funny part, right? Not that that's not funny. That's kind of funny. In other words, he's buying into the whole thing. Never mind that there's studies that say the Delta variant was caused by the vaccine. You know, it mm-hmm. mutated because, you know. But anyways, he's going to go into an office and collect his packages and signatures from clerks who have not been vaccinated and will not be vaccinated.
Oh, my God. I'm just going to put this out there to America. Listen to me. This is how lazy I am. I don't care if you guys had active TB. You bring my package to the door, I'll sign for it. Okay? So I'm not going to the post office. That's it. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll tell you, there's also some things that you need to consider because it's true. The harder that you make it for this virus to gain entry, because it's a living thing, it wants to survive, it's going to mutate. We're going to have more variants. Yeah. There's some top-notch virologists who suggest that the mass vaccinations, the triple, double, triple jabs, are going to cause even worse variants of this thing. You know, we need to understand that this is nature culling the herd. I hate to be that blank about it, but that's the way it is. Something is going to come along to reduce the population. Medical science has allowed people to live longer and longer and longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nature does what nature does. And that's part of why we have diseases like this. Not saying we shouldn't try to treat people or prevent mass outbreaks. I'm saying it's going to be almost impossible to contain a respiratory-borne virus. It just is.
Okay. But according to Nancy Pelosi, Mother Nature is upset with how we have treated her planet.
You know, if it was any other time in American history, I would say, boy, that's funny. But you know what? These people hold the levers of power. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We are lorded over by complete and utter morons. Can we at least agree on that? And it just has to stop.
And
I hear them say it's good that the grown-ups are in charge. Or what are you talking about?
Yeah,
right.
I know. Dang. And I'll inject the Lord Acton quote. power corrupts and mm-hmm. go ahead. I know mm-hmm. you know the rest.
No, let you go, buddy. As I'm drinking whiskey, you do what you got to do. I think is it a dramatic pause you're doing?
Yes, dramatic pause. We're talking about the dramatic pause as the dramatic pause. I'm drinking honey whiskey. So
are you? Well, I've got a 30-year-old scotch tonight, gentlemen. So
I'm not that rich. I spent $15 on a
I understand. That's why I married a nurse. I married up a tax bracket.
Power
so I can afford good things.
Power corrupts mm-hmm. and absolute power mm-hmm. corrupts absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? And that is absolutely true. You know, it's almost as if, you know, we had examples of this throughout history. What I'm loving is the fact that every time that Trump or any of his supporters are called fascists, right? We were all a bunch of fascists. Now, if I'm not mistaken, when you have a system of government where you have a very large government that has very strong ties to, I don't know, say corporations, I thought that was very fascistic, right? Mm-hmm. So what we have now is the exact definition of fascism, where we're going to use private companies to do the government's bidding, correct? Why are we going to put up with this, people? Why are we putting up with this? Okay.
Well, I'm not.
I have no idea. I know you're not. You and I are both mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. Ha, there's another quote. Go figure it out, people, if you don't know where that came from.
Twisted Sister. The 12 Angry Men or what was 12 Angry Men.
You know what I found out the other day? I was thinking about this the other day, how popular culture sometimes is so ahead of its time. My wife, the other day, for the first time ever, was sitting down watching, streaming some television. She came across the outstanding Sylvester Stallone classic Demolition Man. And remember at the time, it was completely panned as being ridiculous. And I looked at the movie and like, it's prescient. We have morphed into Demolition Man society.
It really is.
And it's crazy. They Live. Anybody remember the great film, They Live? Go watch that if you haven't, because that's also very prescient now as well. We're living in these times, right? We're living in these times where we are being lorded over. There's this elite class, and they look down their noses at us. Yes.
They don't wear robes yet.
Oh, yes.
Not
of
yet,
course,
anyway.
Because not yet. Not wear that, or you know, not every restaurant's Taco Bell. If you haven't watched the movie, people, go watch it. It's fantastic, by the way. You know, much better than the crap they're rolling out now. As a movie fan, I'm just, you know, woke Hollywood is like the worst. Oh, my God, is it the worst? So, but, you know, it's like that. If we have to start fighting back. And, I mean, I believe other people have said this long before. I think it's time for mass civil disobedience. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to do it. The hell with you people. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing all this stuff you're telling me to do. I'm an American. I have a right to make my own decision. And it's not going to end until we demand that it ends. And we got to start demanding it. That's it. That's just as far as it goes.
And here's the thing, though. What we're up against is the useful idiots that believe everything they see on the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I've said it, you know, used this guy as a foil many, many times. This is a guy I work with. And, he, you know, I had one of the clerks that addressed me on the mailroom floor. Said, wait a minute. Which is bringing it boy says, I'm a human being, goddammit. My life has value. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
There you go. He got you. Yeah. He got you.
Bringing it boy. She asked me, the clerk asked me a question about, you know, something about that. I think it was about the, it was about when Texas passed the heartbeat law. I think I talked about it last week. And, you know, I said, she says, what do you think about that, Dave? But everybody can hear it. You know, she's just saying
excuse
it.
Excuse me, oh. Aaron. No.
And I said, and believe me, she's on our side. She was asking me what I think about it. And she did that. I think she was specific like that on purpose. And I said, I said, well, here's the thing. Because with me, when you argue the whole my body, my choice thing, that doesn't really hold any water with me because it's somebody else's body, right? So this kid chimes in. Okay, all right. Can we skip past the part where we talk about this and I get upset over this? Because there was one discussion going on where he had a hissy fit and he left work for like 2 hours, you know, before he came back. Nobody knew where he was. He just left work. He was so upset.
He needs a safe space. Give me a safe space.
No. Yeah. You have no idea. That's exactly what it is. He won't admit that, but that's exactly what it is. I work there too, you know, so I mean, I sure. Could, I decided that any at that point, I think Bringing It Boy's wife Suzette was listening last week while I was telling this. Now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, anything I say right now is not going to make anything any better, you know. So, the clerk that asked me the question was kind of upset that I didn't back her up, you know. But I explained. I said, you know, this kid's not going to get anything. It'll make you feel better, you know, but it's not going to really. I work here too, you know, and I don't need the drama. So I went outside and I went and talked to him individually. And I said, look, let me just I said, you have been programmed to get upset when you hear something with which you disagree, when all you really need to do is disagree. And he's like, you know, and he's, I'm like the only Democrat and this and that. I'm like, you're the one that keeps bringing it to Republican and Democrat. Believe me, I really can't stand Republicans either. You know,
man, we're beyond that stuff now.
You know what I mean? And it's like everybody brings it to either Fox News or Republicans. And I'm, you know, I'm sick of all that stuff. I tried to get him to tell me, when was it that anybody shut you down because of what it was you were saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he couldn't name it. I said, because that's what you're doing. When we engage you and engage your point, we're debating. We're not shutting you down. We want you to defend your point. There's a distinction between shutting you down and shutting you up, which is what you want to do to us because you don't want to work in a place where you don't where you have to hear anything that you disagree with. Well, that's, you know, grow a dick. You know, grow
up. I love
up.
Debate. What about debate? You remember the old adage, iron sharpens iron, right? Get in there and debate with people. You either are going to be able to come out of that with your ideas absolutely confirmed, or it's going to make you have to think a little bit, right?
Any which way it goes, it's a good outcome, right?
Right.
But another analogy is your beliefs are then forged. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're not
exactly.
just, you know, something you came across or something you heard. These are forged. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of work.
I have a saying that I share with people who, when we come to an issue, and maybe we all don't agree, okay, I say this all the time. If we can't come to some kind of understanding, err on the side of liberty, right? If we can't come to that agreement, let's go that way. Because I think people win, okay, when we're talking about liberty, all right? And I think that's what we need to start doing. I understand people are very passionate about certain issues. I am passionate about issues called individual liberty. That's what I'm passionate about. I want you, Dave, within reason, to do whatever you think you need to do to live your life, right? To have some meaning in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's my position to tell you anything. That's why we're conservative, right? I don't preach to people. I don't do that. I think we set an example. We're successful people because we've chosen to work hard. I know for you personally, you've gone through a lot of struggle in your life. I have too. But, you know, we don't sit here and talk about it all the time and cry about it. We go through it, we learn, we become stronger from it, and we move forward, right? May I offer you another great movie quote, right? And, you know, and I'm going to say this, anybody's not seen the great scene, once again, the wonderful Sylvester Stallone talking to his son in the Rocky Balboa movie. You remember that, right? You're right. It's not how hard you can hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, right? How winning is done. That's what you learn in life. But these little snowflakes, we don't want to hear that.
Yeah, at the karate school, we got a in the locker room, they got a poster of Muhammad Ali. And it's got some quotes from him. He said something about I can't remember all the lines that are on it, but it's like to be a winner, you have to have the will, you have to have the skill. And you have to, you know, have that last minute stamina, but the will must be stronger than the skill.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's what we've lost. I mean,
bastardization.
We talk about this all the time. We talk about people like Muhammad Ali or different historical figures. They were what I like to refer to as alpha males. In the case of some of the alpha males, there's another category I refer to as alpha male predator. They're even worse, right? Those are the people who get things done, right? They're the guys who sneak into Afghanistan and get private citizens out that the government refuses to. That's an alpha male predator that will do that, okay? And we need more of that. Even if you're a little cucky soy boy, go hang around with these people. Just get the scent of that stag in your nose for a moment, okay? It'll do you good. I promise you it will. Okay? You talk about Dan Bongino, alpha male predator. Is there any question when you look at Dan Bongino, it's like, oh, yeah, he did the person's life. There's no doubt about it, right?
Right. He has the ability to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
We used to learn from men like that, Dave. We did, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if it was necessary. But no,
if it was necessary.
If it's not.
Right.
You know, that's the difference. That's a distinction on the point that you're making is, you know, somebody that has the, you know, the mental ability, you know, to do what it takes if it needs to be done. But
whatever the situation is, whether it's a family crisis all the way up to your life being threatened. The men in my life, my father, my grandfather, they were like that. They're not looking for a fight, Dave, but they'll end one for you. There's no doubt, okay?
Yeah.
That's what we've got to get back to, understanding that, you know what, it requires to be a free people. You may have to get into a bit of a tussle now and again, okay? And I'm seeing far too many people that are not willing to even have a verbal sparring. I'm not talking about going to the streets. I'm talking about even having that verbal back and forth that we talked about.
Oh, they can't handle that. You know, and I think I've figured it out, okay? And I mentioned this last week. I can't remember. I'm drinking. But
yeah, me too.
Those people are not upset at the opposing view as much as they're upset that there is an opposing view.
An opposing view. Thank you very much. That is outstanding. You're exactly correct.
Yeah. I mean, that they there's what? Someone doesn't agree with me. No way.
What?
Are you crazy? Well, this must be
a lot of the younger people have grown up that way.
Yeah. No, I know. It's been 30 years now of Marxism. I'm straight.
Well, I think some people have been talking about this for a long time, you being one of them. When I first met you, you were talking about this stuff. I don't even want to tell people how many years ago that was, because it was a lot of years ago. But, you know, you were talking about this very much. I do believe somebody wrote a book. It wasn't me, because I don't write. One of us wrote a book, and you were talking about this a long time ago. I don't think people wanted to accept it, Dave. I think they wanted to live in this, well, that can't be happening here in America, right? That can't be happening here. And it was. And we're now waking up in a world that we barely recognize. And every day I get up going, good God, what's going to happen next? You know? What can they do next?
Maybe we're asking the wrong question because we're attracting the answer when we say, how much worse can it get? And the Lord is showing us.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid you're right. I should never say that. My dad always said, never ask how bad it's going to get. Wait 20 seconds, it could get worse. Yeah.
Right. How much worse can it get? Well, okay, here you go.
I've got President Kamala Harris. Oh, okay. Everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. I mean, this is like, when I was,
hold on a second. We had a caller a couple of weeks ago, Mike from Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was asking about, you know, should we impeach him? What happens if we impeach him? We get this behind her, this behind that, and this behind that. The thing is, we can't worry about the line of succession. We can't let that stop us from doing what needs to be done in the present, which is, you know, obviously an impeachment, okay? We can't let the line of succession be the reason we don't do the first action. And I'm afraid that's what Republicans are doing. They're letting the line of succession be the reason that they don't do the impeachment in the first place. However,
well, you're right. And at least talk about it.
Well, my thing is this. If you do an impeachment, right, and whether or not the guy's removed, you do the impeachment and you have the hearings, have sent a message to whoever is in that line of succession to dial it the frick back. Dial it back.
You're absolutely correct.
And you know, they're not seeing that. They're not thinking it through to the other side. They're just saying, well, you know, what are we going to do? Have Kamala? Who cares?
Yeah. Well, that's not – my point to you is that we've gotten to a point where, you know, we had a bunch of people who – I was one of them early on. I admit this, my mistakes. I was not on the Trump train to begin with. Back when he was running.
No, you and I were in the same.
But I got to be honest with you. He grew on me. And the reason he grew on me was because he is a guy who we needed. I used to say we don't always get the hero we want. Sometimes you get the hero you need. In a town like that, just set that bull loose in a china shop, right? See what's going to happen. And he exposed a lot of things, okay, for people to look at if they truly are interested. And you know, I have to admit when I'm wrong, but that's also what conservatives do, don't we, Dave? We look at things, we assess, and we go, oh, man, I was wrong on that. I got to change my thinking. And became a big fan of the president once he took office. So, you know, we're not always right out here, but, you know, you got to think through what's going on. We need people who will fight, and I mean fight hard, okay? I'm tired of Lindsey Graham. I live in South Carolina, folks. You know how tired I am of Lindsey Graham, okay?
He has
how tired I am of this guy.
But most of them are bad.
Mm-hmm. We may have to reinvade Afghanistan. What the hell are you talking about, Lindsey? What are you talking about? How many more thousands of precious American lives have to be lost for nothing so that you didn't understand that Afghanistan was a tribal nation for 2,000 years, and you thought, what, you're going to put a Starbucks on every corner, you idiot?
Yeah.
No, we're not going back there and putting troops in. If I got to go back next time, I will literally bomb you back into the Stone Age that you wish to live in. That's what I will do. This is ridiculous, the talk that comes out of this town, and Lindsey Graham. I'm a conservative. Yeah, no, you're not, okay? And Tim Scott, you're not either. I'm tired of both of my senators, by the way, may I say. You need people to fight. You've
got
it.
Tim Scott a Florida guy or no? Tim Scott is
no,
your guy?
No, he's our other senator from South Carolina. He's the black senator. I know that because he tells me that every 20 seconds. That's how I know. I didn't ask, but he tells me all the time. So you know. Okay.
That's like if you're wondering who's vaccinated, don't worry. They'll tell you.
Yeah, they'll tell you. Right. They'll tell you. You know, it's just gotten to the point where they're both very, very rhino-ish mainstream Republicans, and we don't need that now. We need people who are going to fight a little harder for what's right. And you alluded to this.
Whatever forces turn people in Washington toward rhino or progressivism, got to fight against that.
Yeah. Well, honestly, you were talking earlier in the open of the show about how our system has been bastardized, direct election of senators. You know, people go back and look at your history. The senators were supposed to be what? Representatives of our states to the federal government, right?
Ambassadors.
That was the process.
As you were. Yeah.
And that system got bashed. That was a progressive idea, folks, that they snuck through on us. Right? We weren't alive for it, but they did. And how's that worked out for you? Do you think that Lindsey Graham really gives a crap what I think or what the people in South Carolina think? Not really. If it were a true system, the legislature would have sent those people to Washington, and then they could recall them, as you were talking about, as they saw fit. Okay. Yep. But we don't have that anymore. And we got to quit playing around the edges and trying to be nice. I'm sick and tired of Republicans trying to be nice. I don't care if you're nice. Get the job done.
Yeah.
That's what I care about.
Yeah. You can be abrasive, but get it done. So listen, top of the hour, Dana, and I'm going to play a couple of promos, and then I did get a text from G-Ski. He said he's just a little too tired right now. He's kind of drugged up and stuff. He's going to hit the hay.
Understand.
So he's not going to be able to join us. So he said to apologize for everybody for him.
Well, I don't think we should have to apologize for somebody that is not
well.
That's
what the text said. That's all I'm saying. You know, he.
I understand. I understand.
So let me play a couple of promos.
Gotcha, brother.
The top of the hour, and stick with us, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and GC Rock.
No one knows how to best cope with kidney disease like someone who lives with it every day. And that's why the National Kidney Foundation created NKS Peers, our peer mentoring program for kidney patients, including people on dialysis, transplant recipients, and those in earlier stages of kidney disease. Our program also connects living kidney donors with people who are considering donation. NKF trains kidney patients and living donors to serve as mentors in the program, and then we connect them with others who are seeking support. for someone who is just diagnosed with kidney disease or someone considering donating a kidney, talking it through with someone who's been through it is invaluable. Participants use a special toll-free phone system to connect to each other, so no one has to disclose their personal phone numbers or incur any long-distance charges, and the program is completely free. It provides effective, confidential help to those who need it. To learn more or to get involved, call 855-653-7337, that's 855-NKF-PEER, or email us at nkfpeers@kidney.org.
Good evening.
Well, I used to eat bacon, 'cause I like the way it tastes. Now I eat it for jihadis, just to say in your face.
I eat
bacon, wrapped in bacon, rolled in bacon bits. I don't care if they like it or not. It offends them. It's in their Quran.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
You ain't gonna take my bacon.
No.
I'm glad you're offended to your shoes. 'Cause I'd rather eat my bacon and have maybe it's you. I eat bacon wrapped in bacon 'cause I like it. It's a bonus that it offends you. You see what I'm trying to say, Abdul? I'd rather you got over yourself.
Finally.
Put an end to all this righteous indignation.
Righteous.
Have some bacon and enjoy it. We can all get along. And from war enjoy permanent vacation.
There.
Me, I kill you.
Yeah.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and Jisky Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
And welcome back. This is Dave, the Dave and Jisky Rock Show. Again, I don't know why I get top billing. It's because he's that kind of a guy. He's paying the bill. So, in any case, I got on the line with me, Dana, my good buddy, Dana Smearman. We've been chatting about the, the events of the day, the current things going on, the current administration and things like that. And right now, given the date, I would like to kind of switch, if I can. I want to switch to a little bit of 9/11 stuff. And you know, I thought maybe we can start with just kind of like where we were on 9/11 2001. How it hit us, where we were at, what was going on, I want to do something 9/11-ish. I didn't prepare a bunch of stuff like I did, 10 years ago for the 10-year anniversary. I was with the Voldemort show, and we were going on, and we were doing 10-year anniversary. We did a lot of show prep back then. We don't do a lot of show prep now, so sorry about that. but we can now just kind of talk about it. So Dana, where were you, and what was your what do you remember? What was going on that day?
I was actually, my wife and I were doing contract work at the time. I was in a little town called Caribou, Maine, way up on the northern border of Maine.
That's very tippity-top.
It really is. And my wife was working days. I was working afternoon shift at the time, and I was at home kind of sleeping. My wife calls me and says, "Hey, listen, you need to get up, turn the TV on. There's a plane that's hit the World Trade Center." And at the time I turned it on, it was, still very much nebulous what was going on, and maybe thought that it was a small airplane, whatever. I tuned in just as that second plane came around and hit the other tower, and I stood in disbelief. And the only thing that I could think of is, my God, we're at war, right? I felt like, this is what my grandfather must have felt like getting those messages from Honolulu back during Pearl Harbor. Those events numbed me as I watched those great towers fall. And, you can't actually put into words, it was numbing. I couldn't believe this was happening on American soil. And I remember all the uncertainness as I went to work that afternoon, so many stories breaking that this was happening. We were going to attack here or there, all that fog of war stuff. I just kept thinking to myself, life has changed and it's never going to go back to the way it was before. That's just all I had in my gut feeling. And I can tell you, as 20 years has gone by, my wife joined the military not long after. She's a nurse. She's an operating room nurse. Spent a lot of time in Germany watching these young men and women come back from Afghanistan and Iraq with devastating injuries. It's heartbreaking to watch that human capital, what happened. And that, I think, draws into me the anger that I have with the way that we exited Afghanistan. We all knew that we needed to exit Afghanistan, but it's the way it happened, Dave. I think that's what I'm left with, is just that, all the heroism of that day and what followed, and then the mess that we find ourselves in now.
Yeah, and if you've heard any, I've heard a couple of Trump interviews where he said, look, we didn't have a date certain. It was condition certain. If you know, if this was met and this was met and this was met, we could have been out in a year, 1 month. We could have been out in 5 months or 6 months. We could have been out in 5 years. It mattered what conditions were met. And Biden just took to the date and set the date. So, yeah. So, I mean, that was the stupidest, most embarrassing on the world stage for our country was that. And yet they want credit for it. You know, they want, the best evacuation.
And David, think about the people who sacrificed these last 2 decades. What must they be feeling right now?
Oh, I know.
Okay.
And you know, probably those are some of the people that are going back to try to get people out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, those are like the, you know, some Navy SEALs that maybe lost a buddy or two, you know, in combat over there. And now they say, oh, there's people left there. Oh,
there were people. My wife can tell you this. She was there for a while. There are people that stuck their neck out for us there, Dave. I'm going to be mad for a second here, brother. I'm sorry. I'm usually your goofy, funny guy, but I'm pissed about this. There are people who stuck their neck out for us. We owe them. Did we learn nothing from what happened to the South Vietnamese and the Cambodians when we decided to withdraw air support, right? When we pulled out of Vietnam?
What are we talking about when you say we? I mean, you and I learned, but the politicians, nope. You know, there's nothing.
It angers me. I've seen these guys come back at Launchdal Medical Center in Germany with devastating injuries, but they believed in what they were doing. I think about those guys somewhere right now. I'm worried about what's going to happen to some of these folks in terms of the already mental illness problem they have. I'm suspecting we're going to have a spike in veteran suicides following all this nonsense. I'm scared to death of it, Dave, but I think that's what's going to happen, and it sickens me that this is the choice that was made by our governing officials. So,
yeah. So what I remember is I think because I had a cleaning business at the time, and some of my accounts were actually post offices. You don't discriminate when you have your own business. If somebody's willing to pay you to use the cleaning, you know, you go and do it.
Do it.
And I, you know, one of the things I can remember when I started my first post office, and I think I still only had the one, you know, because I'd go there at like 8 or 9 o'clock, and I'd be back. I'd be home by, you know, I think I was home by like 9 that day. But you know, when I started working there, I was cleaning. I broke out the mop, you know, and I was mopping the floor. And I can remember one of the carriers saying, "What's that thing?" So, in other words, somebody he hasn't seen the mop out in a little while, you know. I think I still had just the one the very first post office account. More of my accounts were evening accounts. You know, I would go in after 5 o'clock after they, you know, closed business, and I would clean offices. Well, the post offices, they wanted me there in, you know, in the morning while people were there and stuff. So I would go out and clean in the morning, and then I would come home, you know, and I could do whatever I wanted to do, I guess. And I, you know, I don't remember exactly what my schedule was back then. I know I would go out later in the evening for other office cleaning stuff. But I can remember coming home, and I'm pretty sure the TV was on. 2001. I had just had, or I was about to have, another baby. So I still had one baby that was nursing. He was born in 2000, so he was born in July 31st of 2000. So he was a year and 1 month old, you know, and 11 days. And we had a baby due in a little over a month.
Wow.
Because my kids right now are like 14 months apart. And I was teaching noontime classes at the karate school that I was working with. And so I can remember sitting there at 9 o'clock watching, or, you know, 9-ish, whatever time it was, watching the smoke billow out of one of the buildings, right? And like you, I think I was witness to the second plane going in.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, it's been a while since I've recounted this. At the time, I was not politically aware. Okay, I think it was this event that really kind of triggered my interest in what the fuck is going on. You know, it just So I started, after this, I started listening to, you know, some NPR, started listening to this and that. And then, you know, I landed into talk radio. But that day, right, when I was watching, you know, at that point, now two towers billowing smoke, and the one that was hit second was the first one to collapse. And after I kind of, you know, after I thought about it and analyzed it, it made sense. Because when we were, I can remember we were doing the, in Blog Talk Radio back when we, you know, G-Ski and I and
mm-hmm.
you know, we had
yeah.
a few other people going on and doing this stuff. We were doing the 10th year anniversary. And so there was some people that were, you know, like, yeah, it's all a hoax, it's all flag, it's all that, you know. It was an implosion and this and that. And why did the second building fall before the first one? All I did was look at footage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the second plane hit probably 15 floors lower than where the first plane
mm-hmm.
is. So to me, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, okay, there's more weight by 5 floors-ish. I'm not being precise here. I'm just remembering my logic at the time. There's the weight of 5 extra floors over a compromised
right.
section of the building. That's why that building fell first, you know, and then, you know, and then when that building started to implode, all I did was like I pointed at the TV. Like you, I was in absolute disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I didn't arrive at that you did was we're at war. For some reason, I didn't arrive at that. In my head. In other words, that wasn't what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, I still didn't know what to think. Because like I said, I was not the least bit politically aware. I was playing in
right.
a band. I was doing karate. I was working. I had my own business. I had, you know, I was caught up in my own life. Wasn't
sure.
not paying attention. And so all I did when that first building started to collapse like it did, straight down, I just pointed at the TV and I was like, oh my God, you know, oh my God. And then the second building went down. And I can remember going to teach karate, you know, at the noontime class. I had some adults doing the noontime class. They'd come over on their lunch break, and they would learn karate. And I had quite a few students at one point at the noontime class that I brought up from like white belt to, you know,
mm-hmm.
Purple, blue, green belt, you know, and then I sent them off into the other side where, the owner would take over. But anyways, there was one guy, of note on that day of my recollection. There was one guy that would come in to do jujitsu rolling with the owner. I mean, you know, they took karate together. They learned from the same teacher for a little while.
Sure.
At some point. And they would still kind of work out together. And he was a cop in an adjoining suburban town. And he was the first mention I ever heard of Osama bin Laden. That was the first mention I ever heard about that. But in the same breath, this guy also mentioned something about a false flag. And I knew nothing about any of the stuff that he was talking about. I'm like, what? Dude, what are you talking about? You know, and I can remember when I showed up at the karate school, those guys were already there. You know, I'm sure they were probably talking about it. But I walked in and I was like, well, today's not a slow news day, is it? You know, and I was kind of being flip, you know, and I should not have been. I can remember that's how I handled it. I mean, like I said, I did not have any awareness of what was going on in the world, in our government at that time. And then, you know, like I alluded to, since then, you know, I was about to have a baby, you know, so my wife had her doctor down in Rhode Island. I'm in New Hampshire. She had a doctor in Rhode Island. That's where we had our first baby. She went back there to have the second baby. So it's like I had a lot of time where, you know, they was like, well, we don't need you in here for this. So I would be out in the car and I would be listening to, you know, like talk radio. And you know, I started listening to, you know, some interesting things. And, you know, honestly, I think it was like NPR that kind of started me up. I've since learned that NPR is not really the thing to get your news from. But yeah, so that's kind of like the awakening that I had. And then I spent like, you know, 2 or 3 years, maybe 4, you know, just kind of like getting into my groove on what I, you know, what I believe. And a lot of the people that, because I would be out cleaning and stuff, and then sometimes I would like I'd be listening to a radio show, and I'm like I would wait outside the office until a break, you know, or something like that. So I'd be listening to, you know, listening to what's going on, and it was interesting, and some of the ones that I was influenced by was like Michael Savage. Okay, he's still, you know, he's still a solid guy. As far as I'm concerned, he's still a solid guy. I know he and there was a time where he and Levin were kind of competing a little bit, and Levin kind of like, you know, kind of like trashed him a little bit. But in any case, I still think Savage is fairly solid. There was another guy. He did like, because when I would work really late, I would work like 2-3 in the morning, you know, sometimes cleaning. And there was another overnight guy that I checked out. But what I mostly started doing, and G-Ski reminded me of this recently, is I got a program on my computer. It wasn't Stitcher. It was. I can't remember what it was. It was a program that allowed me to record talk radio streaming. And what I would do is I would record these. I would load them onto like an MP3 player, and I would bring them out with me to work. And as I was working, I had headphones in, and I would listen to talk radio. Monica Crowley was one of them. Neil Bortz was really, really good. He did WSB in the morning. Mm-hmm. He was a morning guy.
I was always a very big Dennis Prager fan back in, and still am, I should say.
Yeah, but,
he was one that I listened to a lot too.
I never landed on him, but I would listen to Rusty Humphries. And then, G-Ski, Rusty was in an Atlanta, he was in an Atlanta radio station, but then they changed and we talked about this a few weeks ago. They changed format, so we couldn't get Rusty anymore, but I had Rusty on the thing. So I would record him and I would send him the clip of Rusty's show and he would listen to it that way. So those are some of the guys, and of course, you know, Levin. I did a little bit of Hannity,
Can we talk honestly? I'm over Hannity. Okay,
yeah,
I have been for a long time.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Hannity is playing the game of talking points. So in other
words,
he can't talk about Hunter without calling him no experience Hunter or quid pro quo.
Yeah, that kind of
Joe. Stuff
is.
You know, so I
and also telling you, and from your background, and also, by the way, I was and have been in the martial arts for many years as well. If he tells me one more time he's an MMA fighter, my head's going to explode. Okay. You know, his MMA training every time you turn the news. Please. You very rarely see fat MMA guys. Can I say that to the public? I think I can. Right.
Yeah. Dan Bongino, I believe. Sean Hannity.
Oh. Not so much. Well, let me just say with Levin, it was an eye-opening experience. I've never heard anybody who had that much acumen when it comes to the Constitution and constitutional law. And I was out in the Bay Area 2002 when Michael Savage – I enjoy Michael Savage as well.
Yeah.
I think what the guys in talk radio have learned, and you know, Glenn Beck and Mark Levin had a bit of a fight for a while, is, hey, listen, why are we fighting each other? The fight's out there, man. Let's get together and let's just get the message out that we need to get out. And, you know, Levin's my favorite. You know that. That's no secret.
Yeah, mine too. And G-Ski just texted me. He reminded me the radio program that I recorded. It was called Tune In Radio.
Exactly. I remember what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can record. I could set the timer, you know. I could set a recorder. So when, in other words, when I listened to the results, I would hear all the radio ads from the period and the location. You know, I would hear local Atlanta.
Rusty. Is Rusty still broadcast? I used to love Rusty Humphrey.
He was really good. He was the one that introduced me to the story about It's Not Yours to Give. Senator, I can't remember the senator's name. He was running for office and he came across a farmer and he increased his stride so we could meet the farmer at the thing and he started talking to the farmer about running for an office. And the farmer was smarter than he thought he was, apparently, where he started bringing up, some of the spending issues. And even though this area was destroyed by like a wildfire, the Congress had no business giving them money to rebuild. Because it's not your money. It's not your money to give, and that was.
I'm going to say something else as we talk about all these people, and it may seem self-serving to some, but you know, back in the day, when I first was introduced to this entity called Blog Talk Radio, and I of course met you through that, and I met G-Ski, you know, I think you guys picked up what you learned and you ran with it, and you became very good at the message that you were trying to get. And as I said, you were on the whole idea of socialism long before people were making it very fashionable to talk about. And G-Ski is just entertaining. I mean, that man, and I know he's listening out there, brother, he's an entertaining guy, very talented man. And
I hope his health will allow him to get back into this kind of stuff, because I think you guys took an original approach to some of this stuff. You know, there's the whole idea of the big corporate media talking point thing, as you were talking about earlier. But on Blog Talk Radio, we talked about different issues, and we could get kind of specific about things that maybe we not everybody was talking about. And you guys were always good about that. And, you know, I as I said before, I really enjoyed that outlet to get ideas out. You know, that maybe some things that we would talk about that maybe you wouldn't talk about on a national show, but we would talk about it. And, you know, it's one of the things I was glad to hear you guys back on the air, because we need more voices, brother. We need more voices talking about all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I just hope and pray that people will take this, what we're saying, and move with it and get energized and start getting involved, right? Do
well,
what you need
we're
to
not,
do.
We're not forcing any kind of a message. We're just being who we are. We're being individuals, and if that encourages somebody to be an individual, then that's exactly what we would hope for.
Well, I think it was one of those things where, and I mean this, people who don't know the behind-the-scenes stuff or the way these things work, you know, you and G-Ski are genuine human beings. You know, I've spoke to you guys off the air. We've had discussions. You guys were nice to me when I was just a newbie at this kind of stuff. And, the thing about it is, Dave, is I would never have taken that chance had I not met you guys and talked to you guys. And G-Ski to me is a very talented man. I don't know if people have been exposed to the music that he's done in the past and things that he's quite a talented man. And, you know, it was refreshing for me to know that other people shared my viewpoints that were creative like I was. I assumed if you were creative, you were probably a leftist, right? You know, this is how we think, Hollywood and such, right? And I started realizing, damn, people on the right are freaking funny, and they're talented. And we would have these shows, and if people knew some of the things we talked about over the years, I miss that kind of interaction, is what I'm saying. And that's what we were able to do that sometimes you can't do in corporate media. You know what I mean? When you're on the air and you've got sponsors and all that kind of stuff. We were able to talk about things in a much more raw way. You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Dana. I'm gonna take another and we'll have about 20 minutes left, and hopefully you'll stay with us, and we'll chat.
That's good because the whiskey's running through me.
All right,
it's going through me. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
All right, brother.
My daddy was a hero, and I'm so proud of him. I love him, and I miss him very much.
I made you die. I love you, Daddy.
Very sad and hurtful that my sisters won't have as much as memory like I do with my dad.
When I told the girls that their daddy became an angel, it was extremely hard because their daddy was no longer there to tuck them in at night, to be with them every day.
There are over 1,000 families that need our help. Tunnelton Towers is honoring those heroes that risked their lives by providing them with mortgage-free homes.
The moment I stepped in my home, I was in awe, knowing that this was the most beautiful home I'd ever stepped into.
I love this house because it helps me and my mommy and my baby sisters and all my other family to realize that other people are there with us and supporting us.
I'm Frank Silla, chairman of the Stephen Silla Tunnelton Towers Foundation. This is our contract with our first responders and military, that when you go and serve your country or your community, and you give your kids a kiss goodbye, and you don't come home or you're catastrophically injured, we're going to give them a mortgage-free home.
It means so much to me as a law enforcement officer who was affected by a tragic incident with the loss of my husband to know that if there is a loss in the future, the Tunnelton Towers will provide support for those families. They're not alone. I lost the father to my children. And for $11 a month, you can make families like mine more whole.
I'd like to ask you to contribute $11 a month to support their efforts. Please visit TunnelTowers.org.
When we do Internet Talk Radio, we receive support from a great many areas. We have listener support, of course, and some who help with the promoting. One group that often goes unrecognized are the wives of Internet Talk Radio hosts. They are the ones who tolerate our dalliances and the time we invest in our hobbies. Well, this is one way we can properly recognize those who are closest to us by broadcasting their sincere sentiments regarding our passions.
Are you going to stay up all night? You have family, you know. You're always at that computer. How much money do you make doing that dumbass radio show? You're not the only one that lives there, you know. You better come and eat. I'm not bringing it in there.
Oh, I love that one. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. David and Jisky Rock Show.
What?
You like
yeah.
my promo? Huh?
That was great.
And true.
Someone's sleeping on the couch tonight. I don't know
yeah.
who that could be.
Yeah, yeah, that's all right. That's all right. She has a sense of humor, so.
Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. How much money do you make with that dumbass radio?
I actually think in my career I was actually negative. I actually spent more money on equipment and everything than I did ever making money. That's for damn sure. So.
Oh, looks like Bringing It Boy's heading on out. Well, listen, see ya, Bringing It Boy. Thanks for coming in. Care. We were talking about that, like the 9/11, just kind of reflecting
yeah.
on where we were and stuff. And, like I said, I didn't want to let this show on 9/10 go by without recollection about the 9/11 thing.
Yeah.
So.
David, there's a picture that I'm sure you could probably Google on the internet that I will never forget. It's haunting, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's that photo that somebody took going down the steps of the World Trade Center, and you see the picture of the fireman, right? And that fireman going up those steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never to be seen again. The heroism that was on display on that day, I think I will never forget it, okay? The things that people did. The police officers. I mean, there were documentaries done. I don't know if you saw the one where you can actually hear the bodies that are the people had decided that they needed to jump. That was their only option, right? To jump. And these images are seared into my brain. Even 20 years out,
right.
They're still seared in there. We need to never forget what happened. And what concerns me, and I don't want to say this, but I think I need to, I'm worried about tomorrow, David. I'm worried with this administration, what could happen tomorrow on the anniversary of this, just this devastating event. And I'm hoping nothing's going to happen, but there's something inside of me that says, man, I need to be cautious tomorrow. I don't know how you feel about that, but I just keep sensing that.
Well, that's a brilliant point. I have also thought that same thing. So, in other words, if something terrible happens tomorrow, I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah.
What I mean, obviously, I hope it doesn't happen near me or anybody I love. Okay. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. What I'm left with. Having said that, is sadness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. if something terrible happens tomorrow, there's no other word for it other than sadness.
Yeah.
Could it be avoided? Yes, but it takes a backbone. It takes a spine. It takes
mm-hmm.
somebody that is willing to defend the country. You know, I can't tell you, How many times with G-Ski and I have we said, you know, if we were tasked with the project, or if we decided on the project of destroying the United States of America, what would we do different than what is being done right now? And in the order that it has been done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an excellent point. I lament the fact that the left has infiltrated, and now they're even infiltrating our places of worship, Dave. You know, that used to be sacrosanct to us. They've infiltrated everywhere. And we have to understand that. That's why we keep going back to the feckless Republican Party. You got to have a set of Wawahos, right? You got to understand that these people, they don't pause. They keep moving forward, right? No,
yeah.
they are unified, yeah. And they move forward. Why can't we be that way as the opposition, right? Unified and be resolute that this is the line. We go no further, right?
Because there's no media that's not going to ridicule them for doing so.
You're right.
And you're right. That's the reason that they behave the way they do, is because they don't want to have bad press. Now, it's not that they're wrong because they'll have bad press. It's that.
Mm-hmm.
The bad press works.
Absolutely.
And
you're right.
That is actually the problem. So if there were as much good press as there were bad press, well that then, you know, we have a sporting chance. However, how much has the pop culture progressed towards what would be bad press?
You know, I go back and I look at popular culture. You know, I don't know if I've said this before, maybe on my own show years ago. I homeschooled my children. And I find sometimes that popular culture is actually a good way to teach, right? There are things that have come out of popular culture that are good. But you're right, the last 10 years there has been just trash, right? You go back and you look at what happens in television, news, movies, all of that stuff. The messages that are being sent, it's garbage, right? And our kids, our young people are lapping this stuff up. And,
well, what else do they have?
Takes a lot to battle that, you know?
Yeah. I know. They don't have any frame of reference. That's why they're lapping this stuff up.
Yeah. You're exactly correct. And I, you know, as I say to people all the time, you know, we have to do a better job. The right has been kind of passive, over the years. We've watched each institution, whether it's education, religion, whether it's mass media, be taken over. We do a lot of complaining about it, Dave, but we don't do anything about offering an alternative. You understand what I'm saying? I think we need to do a better job of offering people an alternative.
Right, that's a fair point, but let me explain part of the reason for the right not, quote unquote, doing anything is inherent in the philosophy of the right. Leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone.
But
that's
they're not leaving
why.
Us alone.
That's
Dave.
The reason
that's
why.
The problem.
No, it's now a problem. Yes. It's not a problem on its face. It's a problem because the other side wants to be in your face with this issue or that issue.
There's that old adage that we need rough men that will do horrible things, right? You've heard that adage, right?
Oh, yeah.
There are
yeah.
times in which we are going to have to do what needs to be done. And I think the right, you're right, we have that philosophy, we won't be left alone, but I think we need to change our thinking a little bit. We need to offer some alternatives, like you guys are doing on your show, and some people, I'm sure, throughout Blog Talk Radio and I know YouTube and different places are trying to do. Give people a different perspective, right? Get another message out. I believe freedom sells if you do it the right way, right? You got to – really have to go out there and preach those tenets of individual liberty. I was grown up in a time in which PBS actually aired Free to Choose by Milton Friedman, for God's sake.
Oh,
right?
Yep.
That's what made me what I am, is Milton Friedman.
I don't
for God's
remember
sake.
Those, but I've seen them since.
Well, I'm an old man, Dave, and I do remember watching those on television. I'm not afraid
You're
to
not
say
older
that.
Than me.
But, yeah.
Come on.
I remember sitting down on PBS and airing that, and I also remember the appearance that he had on The Donahue Show. My mother was a big Phil Donahue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen that clip.
Yeah.
That's great.
Now, that,
so who
to
are
me,
these
when
angels
I saw that.
That you will trust with making these decisions.
Exactly.
I love that question.
That actually made me into a conservative. I swear to God, it was Milton Friedman. And then, you know, right along with that came Ronald Reagan, right? You know, I'm a big Ronald Reagan guy.
Right,
and,
right,
and I'm
right,
just thinking,
right, yeah.
That's what informed my thinking. We need to do a better job on the right of getting into these industries. And maybe that's like what you guys are doing here. Or whether it's starting a YouTube or a Rumble channel or wherever you can get the message out. I believe that conservatives, we're much more talented. We have a better sense of humor than these people. They're humorless. They're
nothing's
so
funny to
the
them.
Time,
they're
right?
They're offended by it. Nothing's funny.
And it's just like we need to get that message out. I we sit here on this anniversary of 9/11. If 9/11 taught me anything, it was that, you know, we sometimes, the younger generation, I don't know if you people know how many of those younger generations fought your wars for you, right, that sacrificed greatly for you.
That's
in places that you
point.
Will never know, okay? I saw what happened to them on the way back. You know, as I was there at Launchtool, when those buses would come in, David, and these young men with devastating injuries, you know what their first question was? Can I go back to my unit? When am I going back to my unit?
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I saw guys that had such devastating injuries that any day that I get up and I think I'm having a bad day, I think about those guys and I say, you know what? Forget about your bad day. Okay? These guys never complained. Never. Not once. And we talk about young people.
They just want
those
to get
are
back
young
to the
people,
unit.
Folks. Right. Those are young people. They fought your war for 20 years. Okay? I'm angry right now, Dave, because of what we've done in Afghanistan, especially since tomorrow, I'm sure the Taliban will have some big event of them taking over the country that they're going to broadcast to the world, okay? It's infuriating, okay? That's what it is.
Well, you don't have to be infuriated until tomorrow when they do that.
Okay.
So let me not say this in a show because I said I was going to do this lick spittle. I just need to say that. Cool. So that's a word that I started using. Lick spittle. It's in bold print. It's in 64 font on my notes so that I don't forget to say it. So you're right, 9/11 tomorrow from Afghanistan, from, anywhere. And it doesn't have to be here in America. It can be, an attack in France.
Sure.
It can be an attack anywhere. Yeah. 9/11 has always been, since 2001, the date to perform an attack. Now, not every year has there been a terrorist attack on 9/11, but sometimes there has been. And when there has been, it has been heralded throughout the Islamic, community as, yay, because we're taking it to America, the great Satan, and Israel, the little Satan, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I told you before, if something happens tomorrow, I will not be surprised. I will not be taken off. In other words, my guard is up. Okay? I will not be taken off guard. Mm-hmm. What it will be is, for me, is just like supreme sadness. Mm-hmm. That it happened because of certain decisions and events of this Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
if the election, and I believe that it was cheated, I believe, yep. I believe 1,000,000% that it was cheated. If Trump had, you know, had overcome the cheating and become sworn in like he did in 2016, because I think all, that's also what happened. He yep. was so popular and he overcame the amount of cheating against Hillary. But anyways, if he was the president right now in the office making the decisions, this wouldn't be an issue, first of all.
No, you're right.
It would not even be an issue. We would still be all our people in Afghanistan, and if conditions were being met and met for a certain length of time, you know, we would bring these people out. If these conditions were still being met, then, you know, we would start bringing our civilians out. If these conditions were met and for a certain length of time, we would then be able to bring those people out. And then at the very end, you would bring the equipment out. And then right. after that, you bring out the people, the military people.
Right.
That's what his plan right. was.
Absolutely.
You know, and then Biden says, well, no, he had a hard date of, you know, whatever it was, August 31st, and we had to be out by then. Well, what prevented you from keeping Trump's wall building? What prevented you from keeping the pipeline from Germany to Russia or whatever.
Right.
What prevented you from, you know, all these other Trump, you know, ANWR exploration or you know, recovery? What prevented you from keeping any Trump executive order? The first thing you did was override every Trump executive order based on the fact that Trump made them.
Right.
Good or not for the country, good or not, you made them on the fact that because Trump made it, it must be bad, let's override it.
Right.
We have to undo this.
Exactly.
That a little bit what was frustrating to me.
Oh, yes. I agree with you totally. And I just think that as we go forward here, we really need to think as a people, what is it that we want? Do you want to be a free people or not? I think it's the big question that we have right now. Do you want to be a free people? So, and then I know we have short time left. I just want to say real quick to G-Ski, if you're listening out there, brother, you need to get well. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't think God is done with you, brother. You are far too talented and right thinking. And you need to get yourself well, get back on this show so that you don't have some drunk reprobate from South Carolina have to fill in for you, okay? You need to be on this show doing your thing, brother, okay? Because I do believe that, and same thing I would say to you, Dave, you guys need to keep doing your job. Keep putting the truth out there, brother. Just keep doing it. And I swear to God, at some point, I'm going to be face-to-face with G-Ski Rocks. It has to happen. That summit needs to happen. We need to get together.
You and me both.
And
you and me both.
And we need to do this, all get together one day and see each other face-to-face. It's so weird that I've kind of known you guys for a decade, but I've never been in the same room with you guys.
Yeah, that's
right?
That's
like weird. So, But G-Ski, get better out there, brother. I'm praying for you, okay? You need to get that and get back on this program.
So he will. Don't worry, he will. And what I wanted to kind of leave with was something from my Think for Yourself segment with.
Do it.
You know, I was starting to think about when some of the things that you were talking about. With you can ask somebody, what level of government are you comfortable with? And so if it exceeds what you're comfortable with, like it inevitably will. Will then oppose it? We got 10 seconds left, but I'd like to keep going if that's all right with you. So
go ahead,
you'll oppose it, or will you allow yourself to be convinced that it's that slavery to the government is good?
It has to be this. I stood in Germany when I went there many years ago when my wife was stationed there, I went to the city of Worms, the Cathedral of Worms, where there is a cathedral in which Martin Luther stood. There's an X on the floor. And you remember what Martin Luther said when the Catholic Church hauled him in front? I am here because I can do no other. I stand in opposition to what you do. Okay? Morally, you're wrong. I think the government has overstepped its bounds in every way possible. To tell American citizens you do not have a right to make a living unless you take an experimental drug. Are you insane? Okay? Americans, stop complying. Okay? It is in our nature to say no. Right? It is in our nature to stand up to tyranny. Do it now. You know, I am so sick and tired of people just going along, right? They just go along for the greater good, right? For public safety, right? What about individual liberty? What about the right to live your life as a free, sentient person? That's what I'm talking about, Dave. Say no. Say it loudly if necessary. And if they haul you in front of their tribunals, tell them I'm here because I can do no other. That's what I would say.
That's a brilliant thing to say. I'm here because I can do no other. That is fantastic. You're absolutely right.
We used to be a people who fought.
I wanted to get that point about the size of government. What level of government? And that's a great question to ask somebody. Mm-hmm. What level of government are you comfortable with? And, you know, 10 years ago, it would have been a different answer. 20 years ago, it would have been a way different answer. And because Marxism has really only injected itself in the past, like, 25, maybe 30 years. As far as the universities and producing mm-hmm. and producing results
right.
that can affect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then put them in positions either in power or in media or in influence like universities. To really affect and reinforce the direction. Now, if you go back to my writing years mm-hmm. Years ago, 10, 12, 13, 14 years ago.
Right.
It's what I was writing about, but I thought at the time I was writing about it, I thought it was like old news, you know, but nobody knew about it. And I would, you know, I was like, okay, look, this is what's going on and this is why it's going on. And this is what they talked about when they were setting up what they wanted to go on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like, I don't think I knew that it was going to be as prominent, six, seven, 8 years hence, like it is now.
Yeah,
I really didn't think that when I was writing it. I was like canary in a coal mine type thing. I was like throwing up a flare, saying, "Hey, watch out for this stuff because this is what's behind it," you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was like trying to figure out all the intricacies of what's behind what's going on. And the more I dug, the more I realized this is just sincerely pure evil. There's
mm-hmm.
no other way to explain it. There's no other
right.
There's no other common denominator to reduce this, you know, to, is that we're in a conflict between good and evil, and
mm-hmm.
and good and evil has been redefined to be the reverse of what it is.
Excellent
right?
point. Excellent
yeah.
point.
So,
yeah.
so and I think I said this a couple of weeks ago or whatever when I was talking to G-Ski. If I ever went back to college, and I, you know how you have to do a thesis in college?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is what the title, I have not finished this yet. I have not completed it. I've got two books, you know, in the direction of what my thesis is, but it is not the culmination of my thesis. My thesis is everything that is progressive, you know, quote unquote, progressive or Marxist, quote unquote, or
right.
communist, quote unquote, is the destruction or the overcoming of natural law.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So all right, cool. So my point is everything, and if I was to actually do a thesis on this, I would spell it all out. Would spell it all out, chapter and verse. That every tenet of progressivism is either the denial or the destruction or the depletion or whatever of what we know as natural law.
Exactly.
Well, right. Well, so what do I mean by that? So when I think natural law, I think of, and I've studied this, you know, and actually, mm-hmm. I've taken the Hillsdale College,
great
lecture.
Course, by the way.
Yeah. The Hillsdale College course on, you know, where they brought up the natural law and stuff like that. You know, it goes a little bit beyond. You know, water is wet, the sky is blue, right? So those
exactly.
are the obvious natural law things. It goes into, you know, boys are boys and girls are mm-hmm. girls, you know. And
universal
and what,
truths. Right?
Universal truths. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Universal truths are a synonym for natural
right.
law.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's what my thesis would consist of. And I would go through every point by point by point by point by point. It would probably be a 3,700 page thesis.
you draw out issues that if you've ever read, there's a great book by Dr. Paul Kangor. It's called The Devil in Karl Marx. Basically, it's making that argument that you're talking about, right?
Again, if I was in college,
yeah.
I would know this
yeah.
because I would be studying
yeah.
this. So this is the
right.
first I'm hearing of this, so go ahead.
Yeah. Dr. Paul Kangor, who teaches at Grove City College, he has written about Marxism. He's written about the Russian Revolution. He wrote a book called The Devil and Karl Marx, which if you guys read this thing, he lays out what you're laying out. Not only is it an affront to natural law, but it is an affront to morality itself, that you can't call yourself a moral person, a Christian person, and even talk about the tenets of socialism, right? He breaks it down, and it's kind of what you were talking about years ago. It's a more academic tome than you were doing, which means, by the way, when I say academic tome, probably a little more boring than what you wrote, right? Because, you know, academic
yeah,
books tend to
yeah,
be a little dry,
yeah.
right? But, yeah, it's the same idea that it's against natural universal law that we accept if you are an educated person, by the way, right? Human nature is what we were talking about earlier. Same thing. But, yeah, you're correct. You're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And go look it up. It's on Amazon if you folks want to read it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably check it out. But
good book.
But yeah. So I mean, everything I think of, everything I hear, mm-hmm. everything I see, I mm-hmm. wash it through natural law. And I say, you know, okay, this is attacking natural law from this direction.
Right.
This is attacking natural law from that direction. This is attacking it from
right.
this direction. So, you know, it's like if I was ever to, you know, buckle down and write out a thesis, even like I said, my first, you know, two books that I wrote, they're heading in that direction, but it doesn't
absolutely.
It doesn't complete my what I've developed as a thesis since then.
Well, you know, David,
since I've written those two books, I've
yeah,
developed
but you evolve
thesis.
Though over yeah,
right.
you evolve over time as different information is presented to you, you know.
And more realizations are made. Yes, mm-hmm. yes, you're exactly mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I think if people haven't read your books, they're pressing it even at this time. I mean, if you read those
yeah,
today,
for sure,
absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like John Locke was onto something, right? Like he understood some stuff.
Yeah, well, you can imagine that, Captain.
I just listen, Dave. I sit here every day and I wonder if people truly understand conservatism. We talked about it before. We understand human nature. We accept it for what it is, right? We don't seek to change it because you can't. So you develop political systems or governmental systems to address some of those, I should say, worst parts of human nature, right?
Right.
I want just enough government so people don't kill each other. I think that's what I would want, right? Otherwise, have at it, okay?
Well,
that's what I would say.
Okay. So I, you know, and I'm thinking ahead. I mean, that's a wonderful point. And here's why I like somebody to bet, you know, the point back and forth with when I have mm-hmm. a good point. I, you know, somebody will mm-hmm. come with something that I didn't think of, you know. But right now I'm thinking of, oh, just enough government so people don't kill people. Well, what about
okay.
What about monopolies? You kind
of
need
you
kind of need a
but
government.
But see, that's what we're right, and that's what we talk about. You are going to rebut, and this is what debate is about. Remember, we talked about
right,
it earlier
right.
in the show, having
exactly.
robust debate, right?
Exactly. So yeah. now, you know, if that's not something that you thought of, then now you get to think about it and include that
exactly.
in your, you know, in your reasoning for your
exactly.
point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
and that's what we used to, well, we used to do that. Even conservatives, we would debate amongst ourselves, right? Did we not back in the old days of Blog Talk Radio debate amongst each other about our viewpoints, right? We didn't call each other enemies. We were friends. We were allies, but we just thought a little differently about certain issues, right? Mm. And that's good. That's actually healthy, right? At least it used to be, anyway. I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. But
yeah.
like I, you know, like I've mentioned, I use this kid as a foil, you know, on the show because he's. You know, a guy I work with, I have access to him
right.
and stuff like that. So I use him as a foil. And he would rather, like I said, and this is the point I made, and I think you acknowledge the point, is he's not mm. upset at the opposing viewpoint. He's upset that there is an opposing viewpoint.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
you know, it's like, it's hard to approach. He's difficult to approach with...
Right.
an opposing viewpoint because he's not open to it. You know, he just wants to believe what he wants to believe.
Right.
The day after I talked to him privately about, you know, listen, you've been programmed to get upset when you hear something with which you disagree. When all you have to do
right.
is really just disagree.
Mm-hmm.
The day after he came back with a whole lot of partisan arguments and, you know, I heart Biden, you know, and bumper stickers, and, you know, he was
right.
just to oppose,
right.
just to oppose, just to be,
right.
Now I figure I'm fighting fire with fire, is what he said. And you know, I'm like, all right, guy, that's not the point of what we're after. You know, I speaking for myself, I'm not after you to fight fire with fire. I've said this before. I don't need you to believe everything that I believe. I get it. That's fine. What you do have to do is think for your freaking self. Okay? That's all I want you to do is think for yourself. And so far he hasn't done that.
Right. You know, there's that issue of what we prefer as confirmation bias, right? We seek out information that just confirms our viewpoints. I am not like that.
Oh my
right?
God, you just reminded me of something.
Right.
So this guy, this other friend that I used to play in a band with, right, he's on Facebook. Every time I post anything that is remotely political, he dives on me. He dives on me with you know, oh, this is Fox News and you're a sycophant and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He will dive all over that. So I mentioned something about, and sometimes, you know, so it's like I don't engage anymore. Sometimes he posts something from like Occupy Democrats or, you know, you know, not my president, you know, just stupid memes, right? And it's like, wow, all right, fine. You freaking drew me back out. Okay. All right. So what about this? Oh, the thing he posted was reasons I'm not a Republican. And he goes into, I don't hate women. I don't hate blacks. I don't, you know what I mean? So I was like, dude, what? Okay. Hmm? You drew me back out. Okay. So, you know, why are you posting such Marxist crap? And he's like, so I was posting something about myself. If you want to insult me, go ahead. And I was like, I'm not insulting you. I'm saying what you're doing is Marxism.
Exactly.
So then he goes, so this was priceless. And he doesn't even know it. He goes, so I Googled Marxist OAN and I Googled Marxist Newsmax.
Okay. Wow.
And what I found was an echo chamber of, you know. I stopped reading after that. I was like, okay, dude, do you realize what you did?
We hate women. I've been married to a woman for 25 years. Okay, my woman is strong and opinionated and challenges me every day, and I love her more every day, Dave. Okay, I don't hate women. All right, hate people.
Can I inject right?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The reason that you love her more and more every day is because she tolerates your bullshit.
Absolutely. But I mean, you know, you hear these arguments, right? You hear these arguments and you're like, you know, I had a strong mother, very opinionated woman. I love my mother, right? I love my wife. What is this bull crap that we hate women? Okay. I believe women, if they have the skill and they have the ability, and I'm a conservative saying that, but you got to have the skill and the ability, right? We shouldn't be doing things like, changing the standards for women. If you can do it, do it, right? I believe that. I'm sick and tired of hearing that, okay?
Yeah. So that was one of the things, okay, that this guy I work with, right? He's a lefty, Trump hater, blah, blah, blah. This clerk that I was talking about was having a private conversation with another clerk about the Olympics. Right? Okay. And they were talking about the transgender BS. Mm-hmm. Now, the transgender males freaking dominated the Olympics. And they
on that too.
Right?
I'm sorry, I can't take it serious either, but okay. Yeah.
I know, and they did. But here's my question, okay? Okay, so everybody's everybody, and everybody's equal, and everybody can be whatever they want. Okay, were there... here's the question. Sorry. I can barely get it up. Here's the question.
Oh, my
okay?
God.
Were there any transgender females competing in a male sport?
No. Absolutely
no!
Not.
Why?
I can't take it anymore, okay? This idea that we can pretend that we're whatever gender we want to be and that there's no differences. You know, my wife is a strong woman, okay? She is a person who has done a lot in her life, but she doesn't claim to be a man, okay? She doesn't. And we're different. You know, we're different in the way we think and the way we approach things. Why can't we just say that is the universal truth, going back to natural law?
That is the subtleties of man and woman. Okay, your personal relationship. That's an anecdote.
Right.
Okay? I'm talking about men who pretend to be women competing in a women's, in a women's competition and slamming it. Right?
May I tell a story, Dave? Go ahead, finish, and then I'm going to tell you a story. Go ahead.
The women who will pretend to be men will not compete in a men's category.
No. Why would they? They're going to get slaughtered, for
right,
God
they're
going
to get slammed. They are going to get slammed. They're not going to slam.
Mm-hmm.
Like the men in the women's category, they're going to get slammed. And
absolutely.
You know, obviously, I'm not talking a sexual thing. I'm talking about in a competition thing. They are going
exactly.
to get destroyed because they only think that they're a man.
Exactly. You're
no offense.
I'm going to tell you a story.
No
this
offense.
Goes back
and,
years
and
ago.
I don't mean any disrespect. All right, go ahead with your story.
Let me tell you the story. It goes back to the year 1984. I was a high school student at the time playing high school football. We had a woman, if you want to call it that, a woman who came out for football, wanted to play nose tackle. If anybody understands football, you understand that that is a difficult position to play, very physical. I was an offensive lineman at the time, okay? The first day of practice that this woman who wanted to participate in male sports, I was 22 tackle trap. If anybody understands, I came down from the tackle position. I hit this woman. I broke her femur, okay? I broke her femur, and she was out, okay? She couldn't participate because she wasn't strong enough. She wasn't big enough to participate with males.
No.
Do you know that I, back in the day, got accused of sexism, David? Because
I was
going to
say, you're just a big meanie.
I'm a big meanie because I treated her like I would treat any other player. I actually thought I was being a feminist at the time. Apparently I was not. Put her out for the year with a broken femur because she was not big enough and strong enough to play with a bunch of men at the time. David, I was 6'3", 260 pounds in high school, okay? Do you understand? Okay? I'm going to dominate. That's what I did.
Oh,
okay, and this woman got injured, and I had to take shit for 2 weeks from people in high school about how I was being anti-woman. I don't think I was. I treated her the same way I would treat any other person who came out for football, right? They can't come physically. We are different, okay? I know nobody wants to hear that, David, but it's true, okay? Just telling you, buddy.
That's
the way it goes.
And at this point, to me, it's freaking hilarious. I know you broke
her
femur.
Dude, I hit her on 22 tackle trap. Okay?
I know you broke her femur, which is the biggest bone. It is the biggest bone in the human body. My oldest brother broke his femur. Mm-hmm. He was out jeeping with his buddies, and one Jeep got stuck, and they thought they were going to... They thought
oh,
they
no.
were gonna, Yeah, no, they thought they were going to pull it out by like two chains with a V. So then they thought about, well, we'll do one in front of the other. And as it was hooking up one Jeep to the front Jeep,
one of
them forgot to set the emergency brake. And guess what? It rolled back.
Oh, my God.
He leaped out of the way with one leg, but the other leg, kind of like the bumpers
got
were
caught.
Offset. So, boom. So he
was in traction.
He was in traction. So in other words, I know about this. He was in traction for months with this broken femur.
Okay. Let me explain this to you. As you know, you've done karate for years, right? I did kung fu in Indonesian Salat for many years. I was aggressive, David. I'm a male. I'm aggressive. So you put me on a sports field, you put me in, if we were going to do, even if we were going to spar, I'm aggressive, right? That's my nature. I didn't look at her as a woman. I looked at her as an opponent. To her, what I would have done to anybody else, except she couldn't handle it, Dave. Okay? Can I say this now? She couldn't handle it, all right? Okay, you know this as being in karate. If you're gonna spar, right? If you're gonna go, okay, let's break down and spar off. Are you gonna put yourself against a female? Is that gonna happen in your class?
I'm gonna tell you the truth, Dana. Are you ready? Are you ready for
go
the
ahead.
Truth?
Go ahead.
Here's what we will teach. You will spar to the level of your opponent. Now that does not track with what you're doing on the football field, because they have signed up to be on the team to play that position. What we're doing is we're selling karate lessons.
Right.
Okay. And we, you know, we will say that you will spar to the level of your opponent.
Okay.
Right. If you are below the level of your opponent, you're going to do the best you can. It's up to them to spar.
To protect themselves, right? Right.
Well, it's up to them. Well, no. Listen close. You are to spar to the level of your opponent, okay? If you are below the level of your opponent, you're going to do the best that you can. It's up to them to spar to the level of their opponent. In other words, they're not supposed to just kick you in the face because they can.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We're there to sell karate lessons. Okay? If I am training somebody to spar at a tournament, they are going to spar in a division.
Right.
And in that division, you go for it. Whatever you can go for, you go for. I can't expect a beginner to spar in an advanced division and, you know, expect them to hang, you know. So what we teach in martial arts at, you know, and the way we approach it is it's responsible to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't track with what, like I said, it doesn't track with what you're talking about, because you have somebody who signed up to be in that position and play that position.
Right.
That position takes what it takes. What we're doing is we have divisions. Okay.
Right.
Now, if you're talking about competition, which is, you know, well, you know, you're training for a football game. That's a competition, right?
Right.
So in karate, you're going to compete within your division, and you know you have a beginner, intermediate, and advanced. So then black belt. Those are the basic four, divisions that you compete with. Now you can have a first degree black belt going up against, you know, a fourth or fifth degree black belt. Well, obviously, you know, the fourth or fifth degree black belt is going to have a few years of training. on
a
the
little
other
bit,
guy.
Right?
So, yeah. but you know, you're in that division, so that means at least you can defend yourself mm-hmm. you know, to the degree you need to. So, and the same thing with advanced, you know, intermediate and beginner. There's going to be different levels of people within those, you know, divisions. So when we're training people in class, just kind of like generally, not for competition. I mean, we don't competitions have kind of been shut down lately with the COVID.
Yeah,
thing.
I imagine. Yeah.
So we don't really have anything, you know, for the people to compete with other schools, you know, with. What we're doing is we're just training them until we do have, you know, some tournaments to train
right.
people. So we, you know, it's like we're doing like a maintenance training. So when we,
sure.
when we train with people, you know, like, let's say primarily it's kids. Okay. So it's like kids under like 12 and under, you know, 12 to, you know, eight to 12 years
right.
old. So if you're in an advanced class with kids aged from, you know, 12 or 11 to eight, you're going to have kids of different levels and comfort levels,
sure.
with engaging with somebody, you know, like we have, you know, a lot of girls that, we have a lot of girls in the program, and some of the girls are not what you would call aggressive. So if we have two, you know, junior black belts kids that will go at it with each other, I mean, it's great to watch, you know, two 11-year-olds really start pounding on each other. And then the next partner they get is, you know, like a brown belt girl who's maybe nine. You know, you can't go at that girl the same level that you went at that other guy with. You know what I mean? So
right,
because not only will the girl want to quit, the parents are sitting there watching, you know,
right.
and they're going to say,
right.
"Well, screw this." so from
right.
from. You're right. So from a school's point of view, where, you know, you want the maximum, you know, enrollment that you can get.
Sure.
You're not going to let this, you know, junior black belt boy
right.
beat up on the brown belt girl just because you're in the same division. You're not going to let him do that just because he can. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's how, from a martial arts point of view, from a martial arts instructor's point of view, that's how we approach that
now,
scenario.
Now, David, to be fair, the last time I was at a tournament was 1992. And I know you're going to understand when I say that I was not completely out by a gentleman who got me with an external wheel kick to the side of my head, that I actually was out for 35 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
So things have changed, I'm sure, dramatically since 1992. So
that could be. So let me tell you about the very first tournament I was in. I was like probably 17 or 18 years old. I was paying for my karate lessons myself. Okay, and I asked my parents to bring me to Danvers, Mass, for a karate tournament that, you know, I could compete in. I think I was a yellow belt or an orange belt, so I was in obviously the beginner category. Okay, I got down there, I registered, we paid our money. You know, I got in my division and I got in my first sparring match. And as soon as the judge, the head judge said, you know, okay, bada each other, shake hands, and then he's like, okay, ready, haita! You know, and then we started. First kick was right into my groin, and I was down for the count, and I could not continue.
That will do it.
All the buildup for that one kick on the very first fight, the very first kick, the very first fight.
There you go. There you go.
I was out. I couldn't continue. He just it was almost like he meant to kick me right in the groin because he stepped forward and boom. I was like,
I had a guy who was like, I told you it was an external wheel kick to the side of my head that I actually was out. I was unconscious. And when I woke up, I could not remember what happened.
I have not experienced.
At the beginning of the fight? Yeah. It's ridiculous. I don't know.
Then I
but
have
you know what? I wouldn't.
As I have footage of me as a black belt coming in probably like second, I think, at a tournament. Sparring in my division as a black belt and, coming in, like I said, I won two or three matches and then, in the division.
Yeah.
And then wind up, losing to, in the finals or whatever. So you come in second. So I have, I have a couple of trophies, but.
You know what they would call us now? We're toxic males, right?
We're
toxically masculine, right?
I would actively, when you do a seated straddle stretch, is that not man spreading?
Yeah. Absolutely. I tell people all the time, when I stopped playing football, I went into martial arts because I was looking for combat, right? I needed it. I needed something to take the place of the fact that what I did on a football field, you would get arrested for in polite society, right? And so I went into that, like going into tournaments, and I'm going to tell everybody out there right now, I got knocked out more than I won. I can tell you that right now. I used to get just fucking devastated. I mean, it was ridiculous. But you know what? It's toxically masculine, and I think that's what's lacking from today's society, Dave. We need a little more toxic masculinity, if I could be so bold.
Well, yeah, I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying.
Combat, right?
That's right. That's right. We need what they will consider toxic masculinity.
Right.
We
toxic
just consider
masculine.
It being,
right.
We just consider it manly,
There's nothing better. If you guys have been out there and played football at any level, is there anything better than a fourth and goal, right? And you got to keep the other team out, right? And you get in that huddle and you tell people, I don't care what happens. These people are not scoring a touchdown right here, okay? And you go and you give everything to prevent that from happening. I mean, there is nothing better, Dave, in my opinion, than that. Same thing with competition where somebody knocks you out, okay, whatever. But you give your best, right? I'm sure you've been in that situation, right? You've taught martial arts. You go into that. It's that one-on-one competition. It just, like I said before, it's iron sharpens iron, man. It makes us better as men. And screw Oprah. I'll say that again.
That's a good point.
Right? Screw Oprah.
Yeah. And, feel your feelings, but don't dwell on it, right?
Exactly.
All right. So Dana, listen, you have no idea how appreciative I am.
Let me say to you that it's my pleasure to help you guys out in any way I can. Early on, I appreciate all the help that you and G-Ski did. G-Ski, if you're out there, get healthy, my brother. I swear to God, we're going to meet in person. It's going to happen.
We will.
I don't know when or where, but it's going to happen. Get well, stay strong.
Here's how it will probably happen. I will end up making a trip down to Florida. I will contact G-Ski and we will arrange a time. We'll get with you and say, hey, listen, I'm going to be here on such and such a date. And you'll be in a position
Look,
where
I'm,
you say,
yeah.
Hey, I'm
cool. I'm 2 hours from the Florida border. You tell me when and where I am there. And we are going to do a live stream, and we're going to do it up.
Yeah, we can do that, yeah.
love both of you guys. And I am strong enough as a heterosexual to say, I love both of you guys. What do you think about that?
I love both of you guys, too.
There you
go. So Dana, we're gonna leave it there. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to definitely thank Dana for joining me on this. I really appreciate it. I mean,
anytime, brother.
Boy, I meant to mention this earlier today when we were doing the 9/11 stuff. I was texting with G Ski, and I don't want to start a whole nother thing, but because we got to close it up, but. I was texting with G-Ski about doing 9/11, and I mentioned, I don't know if you remember him, I think you might, the guy who went by the handle Flyover Territory.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, his 9/11 show was phenomenal, and he always put a lot of thought into his shows. I haven't seen him lately. Anyways, I want to give a shout-out to him just because I thought of him today.
Absolutely.
I remember him. So Flyover Territory, you know, whatever. You were awesome. And love to chat with you again sometime. So,
absolutely.
So Dana, thank you so much for joining
us. Hey, man,
us.
No problem. No problem.
And
G-Ski, get healthy, my brother. Okay?
Yep.
Anytime you guys need anything, hit me up.
Thank you so much. So we're going to close it out, and thank you everybody for listening, and thanks for listening to the podcast. I know you're going to get a little extra bonus of stuff of Dana and I just shooting the shit, but take care. All right, we'll take it out right now with. Let me see, what can I take it out with? We'll take it out with a blurb. All right, take it there. See ya.
You're listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and G.C. Rock.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
We can create a million new manufacturing jobs in the next 4 years. If you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules, yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together.
Imagine the breakthroughs that are on the horizon. And just beyond.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
America, I never said this journey would be easy, and I won't promise that now.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place.
Mama, are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Not yet.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Tell me, mama, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
It's literally around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which hunger is vanquished by crops that don't depend on the soil, water, or fertilizer, or pesticides to thrive.
Are we there yet?
They're just around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which nations no longer depend on nuclear weapons for their defense.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet? Tell me, mama, are we there?